Did you know 69% of recruiters say that a candidate's social media profile really matters? It actually will add flavor and taste to their opinion when considering working with you as a candidate. Did you also know that 32% of candidates will share negative experience from a hiring process publicly on their social media? What about 40% of organizations who have admitted that the length of their hiring process has lost them good candidates over the last 12 months? Did you know all of those things? You're in the locker room. All right, you are in the locker room. Things you will not hear today. I don't have an opinion on that. I'm going to sit on the fence, and that doesn't really matter to me. Those are most definitely things you will not hear today. Today's guest in the locker room, brought to you by the Tech Locker, protecting your technology investment, is a guy so rich in the recruitment and career space with a wealth of history and experience. I'm going to let him do his own introduction. Simon Bucknell, welcome to the locker room.
Neil, thanks, mate. We've obviously known each other a long time, and I've worked with you as a candidate, and we had a great experience there. And obviously now working with you as a client, the post I put on LinkedIn today, the recruitment circle of life, we absolutely work in that sort of circular economy, and it's a joy to work with people who were once candidates and now clients. And I always say, you know, great candidates turn into great clients. Look, you know, we've known each other a little while. I'm a veteran. I think you could call me a veteran now. I think I officially kind of qualify for that title with some gray in my beard. 30 years next year in technology recruitment, and next month, 21 years of running EMBS technology and engineering recruitment business. I would say that I have pretty much seen most of the good and bad things that have happened when and are happening in this industry. I know we're going to talk about loads of different things, but I am probably more excited now than I've ever been in that time, given what is about to land in our laps in technology, with AI, obviously. And as somebody that has a serious interest in the future of work, we are at a pivotal point in time where our kids and the careers functions in schools literally have no idea what is about to happen. The roles that our children are about to consider haven't even been invented yet. So it's a fascinating time to be in technology recruitment and to be in technology generally.
Oh, it is. I could not agree more. I've been really looking forward to this session. I think this is possibly the most bearded session that we've done. There's quite a bit of beard between us here. But you're right. You are a veteran, and you know, 30 years, that's not to be sniffed at. To do anything for 30 years is an achievement. But to have been in one of the most challenging parts of our world, you know, recruiting, it's not an easy gig. But you know, just reflect on yourself for a moment before we do get into all of the plethora of things you've just raised there. You know, you are a recruiter. You are a coach. You're a career coach. You're really strong in the kind of the personal branding, and that all kind of wraps in all of those other services. But you know, you're an entrepreneur. You set up the business. You've been going for a very long time. You are a creator across social media. I don't think there's anybody watching this that won't have seen at least one Simon post a day. And, you know, it's all good stuff, and it's relevant stuff, and it's powerful. It gets you thinking. So of all of those labels, how do you describe yourself? How do you define yourself, if you can?
That's a hell of a question to answer, isn't it? I think where I am most effective is when either the candidate or the employer lets me in and lets me do my thing, lets me utilize that knowledge and experience. Because when I talk to either type of stakeholder, I've normally been there, seen it, experienced it, made the mistake, learned. And that is the beauty and the benefit of having all that knowledge and experience. Equally, when I talk to business owners that are growing and scaling an organization, I talk to them as a recruiter, but I also talk to them as somebody with 21 years of running my own business, growing my own teams. It's having that empathetic approach to talent and recruitment does most definitely give you the edge. It allows you to have really grown up and honest conversations. And it also allows you to get over the imposter syndrome element, which is like, I have the right to tell you what my opinion is because I have been through it myself. And I think that is a key differentiator when you're having a one-to-one conversation with people. The other element that I've always been a creative person, forever. And, you know, writing my daily post is cathartic, really. It allows me to just tick a box. And I enjoy the dopamine hit of having people like my post. And I think a lot of people do, a lot of content creators do. It is an addictive thing, weirdly addictive. You know, you're checking in and seeing whether or not what's come out of your head into LinkedIn is resonating with people. It's an incredibly addictive process. So I've really got into that these last few years as well. Like you have, I think, Neil.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's quite an honest reflection as well, because I don't think you get many creators who would be quite as honest to say that they love that buzz about getting the like. And I'm with you. And, you know, to be completely transparent, you know, I've learned from you along our journey. Like you said at the start, we've known each other a little while. If anybody hasn't worked with Simon, I suggest you do. He'll give you absolute brute force of that's really poor, you need to do better where it's relevant. And I know you definitely did that with me, and it's helped and genuinely helps. You need that feedback. But you don't get many creators who I think will be open enough to kind of go, that I love that. That's a thing. But I think you also do it to add value, right? This is not, you don't do it from a purely selfish base. You're doing it to add value. And I know your methodology, your ideals around this kind of inside out, working with the organizations you do, working with the candidates you do, let me in, help me help you, to quote Jerry Maguire, you know, help me help you. I think that's fundamentally your starting position, is it not?
It really is. And you know, I talk about we because I have a team of people that work with me. We have really high values around quality. I'm not just saying that. We really, really do. And, you know, it's important to us to do an absolute textbook job. You know, I just delivered a CTO recruitment assignment. It was just absolutely bang, 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 bang. You know, it was just a beautiful piece of work because the client allowed us to get in. We really built a deep understanding of what they wanted to get out of the business, first of all, the culture of the board, the technology proposition. And it was just a wonderful piece of recruitment. And we get such satisfaction from doing that level of quality and understanding that the person we put in is going to make a significant difference to the product that's being developed. But we also know that in that moment that we are going to be able to build the team as well. You know, you buy one, you get one free. You know, it's one of those sorts of scenarios, isn't it? And so it's hugely satisfying to do that. And I think yesterday I had a situation yesterday with one of my team who was on a call with somebody, a client, who talked to them really negatively, really transactionally, and was super cold. And he got upset about it. He phoned me up and said, I've had a call, I'm really upset about it. I feel I've done a really incredible job, and the way that I've just been spoken to has really upset me, Simon. He's like, it doesn't really bother me. And I said, yes, it does. That's why we're talking, you know. And it's those things in recruitment which are really tough, because genuinely recruitment people do care. They are people orientated. They are sensitive. That's what makes them great at what they do. They're very empathetic. And recruitment is a tough game to work in when you're giving everything with that high set of values, with that quality. And, you know, you operate sort of transactionally with people, or you're just another supplier. And they're, because you're a supplier, they feel they can just talk to you like shit, quite frankly. And that's really tough in recruitment for a lot of people who come into the industry but don't have that thick skin. And I'm not sure you can really grow that much of a thick skin. You kind of can, but emotionally, if you are susceptible or oversensitive, and we talk about neurodiversity and hypersensitivity to certain scenarios, if you're in that space, this is a tough place to be.
So I want to come back to that from a candidate's perspective in a second, but on the industry of recruiting, I mean, you've been doing that the job for all of those years, as you outlined. You know, as somebody who's had to find themselves working into new jobs over a similar period of time, over 30 years or so. You know, back in the day, recruiters were nothing more than CV grabbing empires where you just blindly submit online. You wouldn't really tailor your CV. It'd just be, you know, half a dozen applications gone in. People would phone you up, I've got a great opportunity. Could you just send me your CV? And, you know, it's like even now, there are still the odd recruitment agency kicking around who phone me up with a C++ coding job. And I'm like, dude, I've not done that. Well, I've practically never done that, but I've certainly not done that for like 25 years. So how up to date are you really? Have you seen that shift in terms of those that have survived and those that have modernized and gone with what is needed from a recruitment partner?
I mean, you know, it's like any industry, isn't it? You've got really high performing, super, you know, just incredible people. And then you've got people that are kind of either on the way there because you've got to start somewhere, or people that are just not great. I work in both two industries, in technology and engineering. And it's absolutely incredible to see the difference in the industry in those different sectors as well. So, you know, technology is about personal brand, it's about LinkedIn, it's about AI. You know, we've got situations now where AI is generating a CV which is being assessed by an AI applicant tracking platform. You know, that's what's happening in tech, right? So there's no human element in that. We come back to that. That's a scary element. Whereas in engineering, it's still very human. The way that we outreach to engineers, they're making things with their hands, you know, they're in machine shops, on production lines. So there is a huge difference between different industry sectors and therefore the different types of people that are working in them. I think we underestimate in tech just how advanced we are in what we do. We live in our little bubble. We communicate in our echo chambers. And as tech recruiters and as tech people, it's interesting to see the outside world, to see just how far advanced we are. So I think we've moved a lot on in the recruitment industry. I feel that we're at a tipping point around quality and also impact on AI. So AI will hopefully allow for recruiters to have more time to build great human connections and relationships. That's my hope. And as a result of that, what will happen is the best recruiters will be the best human people connectors, if you see what I'm saying. You know, we're going to surface that core human skill set to the top because the administrative skill set, the procedural skill set may be replaced by some sort of technology. So I think those without outstanding skills around emotional intelligence moving forward will be, you know, the top level recruiters. And I guess, you know, utilizing some of that technology, they should hopefully be high performing. But I'm a great believer that at the center of what we do, it's about the people side. And just to give you maybe a little segue, Neil, yesterday I saw a survey, which is the top priorities for a CIO in 2024 by percentage. Okay. We had all sorts of things in there, you know, around digital transformation and change and AI, et cetera. There's literally 20 different things. Not one thing on that list was people related. Not one priority on that list of CIO stuff was people related. And I was like, surely on the top of that list is building your team to deliver everything else underneath. And I just thought, how short-sighted are either the people that are doing the surveys or the CIOs to not understand that the people stuff is the only thing that really matters at the end of the day.
Do you know what? It's really interesting. And to all of the millions of people watching this, you know, I promise we didn't have this conversation beforehand, but I either saw that list or a very similar list and I had the exact thought. And, you know, as a CTO, you know, I like to be very active in the hiring process. And by very active, I don't mean sticking my oar in to kind of, you know, slow it down. But I like to, you know, you like people to feel like they're part of the team coming in. You want to get to know them as much as they need to get to you. It's a two-way street. And I had that exact thought when I read that list. You know, and I know you're a big proponent of AI from all angles, really, in terms of the potential it's got. You know, the efficiency, you talk regularly around the tools that can drive that kind of efficiency and automation to help you do your job better. But that's the point. It's helping you do your job better, not doing it for you. And these articles recently about how AI will replace the recruitment humans completely. You know, you can get it to write your CV. You can get it to submit applications for you. You can get it to hold the actual hiring side of the interview process for you. And I'm like, no, that's wrong. It just feels very, very wrong. But huge can of worms in AI. As an industry, though, from a recruitment, you just touched on it there. And I ask everybody this question. Engineers are terrified. You know, they just think it's only a matter of time before they've got to find a way of pivoting how they work with AI as opposed to it just replacing them. You know, is that where you and your team's heads at? How do we exploit AI to help us do our jobs better? Or is there genuinely a fear that it's only a matter of time?
Well, there's a couple of really interesting things there. The first is that through research that I pulled together for a presentation earlier on this week, I think the general sense is that AI will create more jobs than it replaces or displaces. So I think we're already feeling quite positive about the situation. There's this idea that it's going to replace jobs. It's actually going to create a whole new set of jobs and employment. We're at a point at the moment whereby I'm getting requests for AI architects, AI engineers. I'm like, well, they've not really managed to build the skill set yet. So we've got this really weird little conundrum, which happens always in with new innovation. I've seen it many, many times over 30 years. So we're excited about the movement of the market in that space, but it's going to be very, very painful. In terms of recruitment and AI more generally, you know, we utilize, I'll give you a great example of how I've used it and how I use it recently. So I jump on a call with a client. The client gives me a brain dump of what it is that they're looking for. Typically, it's a role that either doesn't exist and they want to create the role, or it's a replacement role, but they don't want to do a direct replacement. They want to kind of build something around certain parts of the role and responsibilities and certain things in the future. Now, where the value comes in is where I'm talking to them. We're pulling that information out. Now, I've got an AI autopilot running in the background. That's pulling the transcript together. What happens after the call, and I've been sort of impressing my clients doing this, is that I take that transcript, I pull that into ChatGPT, and I ask ChatGPT create a job specification from that transcript. I absolutely massage ChatGPT, as you would do, to get the job script description out of it, so I know that it's a role that will be translatable out into the market. But that process for me post-call takes about 5 to 10 minutes tops. So I've been in situations where I've had a call with a client and 10 to 15 minutes later, they've got a fully branded job description based on the conversation that they've just had. And they've messaged me and said, Simon, how the effing hell have you just done that? Right. And that job, that piece of work, maybe 18 months ago would have taken me half a day. It's now taking me 15 minutes. So what does that allow me to do? It allows me to get my outreach better. Higher quality outreach allows me to concentrate on doing better quality outreach with video. It allows me to do better targeting and spend my time doing better targeting, getting better results. That's how AI is impacting my industry and other industries. It just buys you time to dive into things that you need more time to do better. You know, that I don't know if that's answered your question, but that's certainly kind of where I see the market and where I see it working in the tech recruitment space.
So I think it did answer the question. And I think it kind of resonates with a lot of what other people have said and a lot of what you read, which is, you know, where the excitement, where the buzz comes from. Because I think any one of us would not really get buzzy and excited over the fact that, yeah, I'm going to lose my job to that robot. You know, it's not where we are, is it? But I think there's a massive energy behind, this is going to make me so much better. This is going to transform our industry. I remember talking the end of last year around how all engineers will effectively become kind of the YouTube equivalent of engineers. You know, they'll all be building out AI widgets componentry. There'll be a single kind of mass market for businesses to go and buy your kind of no code plug and play style things that you can then just build stuff. Now, that takes people to do that, although I know we're kind of seemingly getting to a place where AI will build itself, but you know, that it's still being fed by something. To your point around the job descriptions, I mean, is that addressing an actual problem apart from fixing something for you in terms of, you know, the efficiency, the time to do what you need to do? But yeah, something like 70% of job descriptions are considered confusing when they're first read. Do you think AI will remove any of the bias that you sometimes see in these bespoke or handwritten pieces? We'll be right back.